to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And wow, am I so excited, because I have someone sitting next to me who is a dear friend, someone who inspires me, someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, a truly holy woman, a truly holy person, Lauren Lindstrom. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, it's been like forever, it feels like. And you are with child, and blessings on that, and blessings on your family. And how old is Mateo now?
He just turned 1 year old. So we actually just came back from a trip visiting our family and reminiscing about his birth and celebrating
Wow.
him. We had a great time.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. And where's your family located?
In Marietta area, and then also in the high desert area.
Not too far. And for those stations that don't know California well, where is that?
North of Temecula and about an hour north of San Diego.
One of the great graces for me, and we're talking about a show titled Grief to Grace, and it's going to be regarding the Seraphim Project. But before we get involved in that, I just want to say how good God is for meeting you. And I remember in the audience, I think, was it at St. Martha's?
It was at St. Martha's.
And we were doing Life in the Spirit, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing you, and there was this halo I saw. I'm just kidding. I saw this glow about you, and our ministry, Spiritful Hearts, we do a lot of Life in the Spirits and a lot of Divine Mercy seminars and so forth. But tell us about your journey. Tell us about, you know, you saw us, but you were on fire before then. You were leading a prayer group and so forth. And how did you find Christ? Are you cradle Catholic?
Mm-hmm. I think it was more gradual, just over time. And I would just say that the more you need God, the more He comes close to you. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And so I think I've always kind of felt His consolation and presence and continued with that. And then I think getting involved with this type of ministry, of healing ministry, was another step for me in realizing kind of my purpose and calling.
Well, that is so important. And we're talking about the Seraphim Project. The title of our show is Grief to Grace. For our audience, perhaps they're not familiar with the Seraphim Project, could you tell us what it is?
Sure. So the Seraphim Project is a nonprofit organization, and we attempt to provide as many healing opportunities and programs for survivors of sexual abuse as possible. Our primary focus, the one that we'll be talking about today, is Grief to Grace, which is a beautiful Catholic retreat written by Dr. Teresa Burke. But we also offer other programs that kind of complement that retreat or offer, you know, other avenues towards healing through online classes. There's even a spiritual workout group, another grieving group that we offer, and then Rise and Shine, which focuses on sharing testimonies of healing, healing from sexual abuse through Christ, and sharing those testimonies to empower others. So the Holy Spirit has really guided us and almost kind of brought to us these different people that want to help for this cause and want to share healing. And that's really our purpose, is to offer these programs, make them financially possible. So we do fundraising to offer them to people. And then also to get the word out that God does heal, because we have really good news that God, you know, can heal survivors of sexual abuse. And that's a very powerful and beautiful message that people should hear. And so it's also a big part of our ministry to share those stories.
My brothers and sisters, with Lauren Lindstrom, and we're talking about Grief to Grace, the Seraphim Project that focuses on healing, especially those that have had sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And how did God call you into this ministry?
Well, I had my own healing journey that I went through. And after going on the Grief to Grace retreat, I a friend of mine and myself decided to start this ministry feeling basically compelled, inspired, you could say, but that we wanted to share this healing with others, like that everyone who's gone through this should have the chance or opportunity to experience this type of healing. The retreat is just incredible and just a beautiful encounter with the Lord and allowing survivors to really move forward and feel the love that so often they don't feel. They feel isolated or brokenhearted or broken in other ways.
My brothers and sisters, with God, all things are possible. And we know from Romans 8:28 that all things work for good for he or she who loves the Lord is called according to his purpose. It's very hard for us to look at that and look at tragedy that happens and looks at abuse that happens and look at this pain that happens and say, well, how can God make this into good? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in all circumstances, give thanks for this, the Lord, this the will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, you're not giving thanks for the abuse, but what you're giving thanks for is how God is going to heal us and make us into who we are. Is that a true statement?
Yes, definitely.
Tell us more about that. Is that, you know, because there are listeners right now, we're on three radio networks, that basically are saying, I have not told anybody, and I hear that, right? I hear that from so many women, let's say, who mm-hmm. say, you know, for the first time, I can go forward and talk about it, but no one knows. No one knows the abuse I've had. Is that common? Do you hear that?
That's very common, and that's actually, I think, why the retreat is so powerful in a way, because survivors have the opportunity to share amongst those that understand and in a safe place. It's very common that people don't want to talk about it for many reasons, and often people honestly don't want to hear about it. It's an off-putting thing. Most people, it's so evil and hard to look at that I think a lot of people would rather just kind of put a wall up, like, oh,
bury it.
Is that really happening? It is really happening, and it's happening way more than we would like to believe. And besides the fact that it's just happening, the destruction that it causes to a person's mind and heart and soul is just, it's a very unique wound. But as you said, you know, for me personally, I do see it that way, that and that was one of my big takeaways from the retreat, is that this has happened to me, and since this has happened to me, I can help others that have gone through this. And it's hard to help others through it unless you've been through it. And so in that way, it kind of became like a calling and a purpose, and finding purpose in that pain is really essential, because if you just sit with your pain and you focus on yourself, then you're in a dark place. But if you realize that God will use that pain and he will open your heart and reach out to others through you, then you realize you actually have a gift in a way.
Now, for those listening, Jesus is talking to you right now. And for many people out there, Jesus is talking to you and saying, yes, this message is exactly for you. I no longer want you to live in a numbed environment in which you feel that you just don't even want to feel, you know, you just want to push it down. You want to numb it out. You don't want to deal with it. Jesus has told us in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundantly, life abundantly. And you can't have an abundant life if you don't deal with truth, if you don't deal with reality. And the reality is that Jesus wants to heal you. How do they get in touch with you? Because there are many, many people right now listening in that had this sexual abuse issue happen to them. They're feeling so much pain, but they haven't dealt with it. So how do they get in touch with you?
The best way would just be to go to our website, www.theseraphim.
And spell that out.
Seraphim project.org. And they can go to our website and take a look at the different programs we have, or reach out and send us a quick message.
And my brothers and sisters, you are being called right now. Those of you who have had this kind of abuse, sexual abuse, are being called right now to make a difference in your life, or perhaps to help other people who maybe they have that one friend who
has
told them, but they're just been paralyzed. So tell us about that too. How can they make a difference?
Absolutely. Your own healing has a huge effect. If you allow the Lord into your healing process, your healing, it has an impact not only on you, your family, your future children, their children, your friends, so many others. And who knows, you might even go into ministry to help others. But even just that one, you receiving that healing has an exponential impact.
How can we encourage other people, maybe friends that we know that have not dealt with it, to call the Seraphim Project? Is this something we could do?
It's a delicate issue, honestly. I think people have to be open to it. And so I think we can pray for all of those who've undergone, you know, such terrible things, and make sure we are a friend to them and listen to them and
love them unconditionally.
Love them unconditionally.
And just ask for the Holy Spirit to lead you, my brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're going to talk about how survivors of sexual abuse often struggle in their relationship with God. When we come right back, this is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with a dear friend, Lauren Lindstrom. And, you know, I mean, this is a personification of how God works, right? You know, we talked about meeting you at one of our workshops, Life in the Spirit seminar. And then it was so obvious that God wanted us to work together. You were, I believe, working with a young adult ministry at that time, correct? Or prayer group.
Prayer group.
Yeah. In that ministry, God certainly used you in a powerful way, but then gave you that nudge to go to the Seraphim Project. And tell us again what the Seraphim Project is.
The Seraphim Project is about helping survivors of sexual abuse through different retreats, workshops, classes that we offer, and then also sharing those stories of healing that has been found in Christ.
And so in order to get more information, www.theseraphimproject.org?
Correct.
And so that's the website, is Seraphim, S-E-R-A-P-H-I-M. So God called you into this ministry to help other people, to be healed yourself and to constantly be healed. But you went to Jesus, you went to God, you had this continued deepening of faith. But so many survivors of sexual abuse go the opposite direction. They mm-hmm. perhaps go into addiction. They mm-hmm. go into what many, many types of addiction, but they struggle with their relationship with God. And tell us about that.
It's very common that survivors of sexual abuse feel completely isolated and alone. If you think about the wound, it is the opposite of what God intended for us. He intended for us to be able to love and trust. And most sexual abuse survivors, I think it's like 90%, have been abused by someone they knew and trusted. Not some stranger, it's someone that they actually trusted. And
a relative, a member of a family, and maybe a friend.
Right, or someone in authority that
authority
should
figure.
Be trustworthy.
Right.
And so they have a hard time trusting God, or also believing that God intends anything good for them, because their experience has told them differently.
Now, is this project exclusively for women, or is it women and men?
It's open for both women and men.
Because there are more men out there that perhaps have been abused than people realize.
Yes.
You know, and unfortunately, that's more common than I think society sometimes realizes. And so whether you're male or female, if you have been abused, again, please contact the Seraphim Project, www.theseraphimproject.org, to get more information, to go on a retreat. The retreats are called Grief to Grace.
That's one of the retreats, and that's a powerful retreat that we're attempting to bring here to Southern California.
Awesome.
But even before it comes to Southern California, we do offer scholarships. So if there's someone that really wants to go on the retreat, We also offer scholarships to help them attend another retreat in the country. Right now, the closest one is in Phoenix.
Now, how many people are affected by sexual abuse? Because we don't hear a lot about it. We know it's out there, but how many people are affected?
Well, I was just looking at the statistics from the Department of Justice, and right now they're saying 1 in 4 women in their lifetime will experience sexual abuse, and 1 in 7 men.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
And that's a lot of people.
Yes.
A lot of people.
That's a pandemic level. That's a lot of people.
That's a pandemic level, and you know, we have this unrest right now in our society. We have, obviously, the pandemic with COVID-19. All of these issues are going on. It's so important to understand that when there's stress, you know, perhaps sexual abuse is even more. I'm not sure.
It is. The rates have been steadily increasing worldwide since the pandemic started.
Yeah. People are stressed out. People are lashing out. They're abusing even more. They're angry. They're doing all these things. And so it's really important that we need to protect ourselves. And I want to ask that question. I mean, for those that perhaps have been abused, or maybe they're just borderline, that they just have this sense that they could become abused, what's the advice for them?
Well, they should find someone that's trustworthy to let them know about it, a trusted person that they can talk to. They can also reach out to us and, you know, seek help. There is help available, but they should definitely not be afraid to confide in someone that they trust.
And so would this be something where we would certainly recommend a mental health professional to be able to maybe help them?
Yes, someone in the mental health field would be ideal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that, do you ever, does the Seraphim Project recommend anybody? Are they involved in that area at all?
At this time, we do not. We work with several, you know, psychologists with some of our programs. We don't officially endorse anyone, but we do know of some great psychologists and therapists that are spirit-filled and really helpful.
Sometimes people don't want to protect themselves because they feel like, I don't want other people to know what happened. So maybe it's a member of their family who abused them, but they don't want to let the parents know, you know, and so they continue on. But they need to protect themselves, and they need to, at least correct me if I'm wrong, but they need to make sure that they're honest. Jesus is all about truth. The truth will set us free. And bottom line is that they just can't continue status quo and expect a different result.
It's true, but unfortunately, abuse is so evil and ugly to look at that we develop all kinds of coping mechanisms to avoid dealing with abuse. People live in a sense of denial, even if they know about it or have seen it. There's like a psychological denial mechanism that we're kind of fighting against. And another thing that people should realize too is it is very complicated. Many survivors of sexual abuse actually disassociate in the sense of they almost create another personality that handles all of their abuse, and then the rest of them continues on normally. And it sounds a little bit crazy, but it also makes sense, because imagine being abused daily by someone you trust. How do you wake up and go to school or go to work the next day? There's different ways that people explain it, but there's like a part of their brain that, okay, this is the part of me that's compartmentalized for handling the abuse.
It's a coping mechanism.
It's a coping mechanism. And
right.
this is really why we believe in the Grief to Grace retreat, because on this retreat, that those parts of that have been split off or have been handling all of that abuse, they get a chance to come forward in a safe environment and share what happened. And so that's really important. It is a complicated wound, and it requires a very thorough, and it's a therapeutic retreat that's psychologically based, but it's also Christ-centered. And this is why it's so effective.
One of the great joys for me is hearing you sing, you know, because you sing with your soul. You sing with your heart. You sing with everything that you have. And you also write songs, correct?
Yes.
And you've written a song called Hold On, tell us about the song, and we'll be blessed to hear it here in a moment. Tell us about Hold On.
Sure. The song is written really for the wounded, that there's so many of us that are wounded. And it's a message of realizing that you're on a journey. And kind of as I was getting at earlier, when you might be so broken that you have different personalities, or you might be split off, or you might be numb. There's so many ways that survivors respond. And so it's a journey, and it takes time. And as someone who's gone through the process, you should realize it's a process and celebrate each step. Take one step at a time towards getting better. And, you know, don't be too hard on yourself. I mean, the main thing is that you're not alone. And the Lord wants you to know that, too, that His heart hurts for you. I think that's a really big thing to realize, is that you're not alone.
You're not alone, my brothers and sisters. Hold on and let the Lord heal you. Let's take a listen to this great song by Lauren Lindstrom called Hold On.
So much pain you hold it inside. So many tears you've never cried. You love so many, but you don't love yourself. And so many love you, but you can hardly tell.
Take a break now and come back to talk about the mission of the Seraphim Project in terms of using the arts. But I want to thank you for this beautiful song that we just heard, and thank you for your gift of song and songwriting. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We'll be right back to talk more about the Seraphim Project and how the arts are used within this project. here on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about grief, the grace, the Seraphim Project. Again, this is for survivors of sexual abuse. Go to www.theseraphimproject.org to get more information, to find out about their great seminar, Grief to Grace. I do want to go back to, we talked about it on an earlier segment, about how so many survivors of sexual abuse struggle in their relationship with God. You know, sometimes, and people don't, and we talk about this, I wrote a book on forgiveness, Miracles Through Forgiveness. And part of that book, I talk about how some people don't want to really talk about it, but they're angry at God. Mm-hmm. And they feel like, I wasn't protected by God. Therefore, I'm angry at God. I don't want to have a close relationship with God, and so forth. Is that part of what is going on with survivors of sexual abuse?
Absolutely. And one amazing part of my retreat experience was realizing in a very tangible and hands-on, kinesthetic type of way that Jesus not only feels bad for our suffering, he can identify with it. I think that that's a powerful thing to realize, is that, oh, he understands what it means to be abused and misunderstood and all of those things. It's a question on the Grief to Grace retreat that is thoroughly addressed, is, you know, where was God when all this was happening? And that's a really important and difficult question for a lot of people to answer. And, you know, it takes some time. It takes, you know, some real work.
And
you know, you always talk about the head to the heart. It's like,
you remember.
Yeah. Well, that's a big one for head to heart, is that God loves you, right?
Right.
But how do you believe that when, you know, when your heart's been destroyed by others and, you know, you feel like you weren't protected? It does take some time to get from head to the heart on that one. And I think that the retreat is powerful. So are many of our other programs kind of touching on that, but particularly the Grief to Grace retreat and addressing that issue, learning again that, and being able to receive God's love.
Lauren, so many people, and this is to our listening audience now, it is not about flipping a switch. It is not about flipping a switch. And so many times people think that, okay, I'm going to go to one seminar or hear one talk, everything's going to be perfect. And for some people, that switch may go off, but it's pretty rare. It's a process. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. You have to stay at it. Sometimes it's a step forward, a step back, two steps forward, one step back. But if you stay on the journey, God is healing you. And talk about that. And did you have your own journey as you went through this process?
Yes. And that's kind of what I wanted to touch on with the song, is that it's definitely a journey and it takes time. It also takes really helpful resources. It's you shouldn't go on this journey alone, but there are resources out there to help. The programs that we offer are based on therapeutic principles as well as Christ-centered spirituality, because such a delicate and difficult wound, having the combination of both is very helpful.
Now, the project, Seraphim Project mission is utilizing the arts to share and celebrate Christ-centered healing. Tell us about that.
Not only do we want to give people the opportunity to heal by letting them know about programs or financially supporting the programs, we think it's important that we share this message, this really good news, that in the midst of such darkness and such evil, God is even there. He is right there, and he is right there with you, nudging you along that little journey you're going on. And he is rooting for you. He is right there. Jesus is right along there beside you, encouraging you to just keep going. And it is such a difficult journey, and he's there with you, though. And it's really great to hear stories of people that have come through it. One story, we have one artist that she made a painting as she was going through her healing journey. And it's just amazing to see visually the transformation. And you know, to see her emotional and spiritual journey. She's got this one painting. It's on our website, on our inspiration wall. And it's a moment that she had when she realized that her abuser is also someone that God loves and someone that God cares about.
Wow.
And she paints this painting and also describes it a little bit, but this moment of realizing that she needed to also forgive him the best she could with God's help, because God does love every single one of us, even the abusers. And forgiveness is a major part, as you know, in any type of healing. But we feel that the arts are one of the most powerful ways to convey these impressions and transformations that occur, because they're at such a heart and soul type of level that the arts tend to capture them very well. And many survivors are gifted in some way in the arts, as they're able to express their soul in a unique and beautiful way.
My brothers and sisters, with Lauren Lindstrom, who is involved with the Seraphim Project, working with survivors of sexual abuse. We're talking about a seminar, Grief to Grace, and we're talking about how God uses the arts in order to help with this healing process. And in my talks and conferences and seminars, I often say that I only want them to remember three things as a takeaway. Do you remember what they are, Michael? Michael's going to remember them. And I don't know if you remember. Do you remember?
I remember head to heart.
Head to heart. You got that one right. Okay, you ready? Three things for our listening audience to take away, and especially for those who are survivors of sexual abuse, for those struggling right now in the midst of this pandemic. You ready? Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Three things. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people, they maybe don't want to give up, but they feel like they have that temptation of giving up. And I imagine those that are going through sexual abuse or survivors, but maybe you're still going through it. You know, there's this tendency to think it'll never change. But that's a lie from the enemy. Jesus wants to heal you. The enemy wants to abuse you, but Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus wants to protect you. And it's so important that we understand that perseverance is really key. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think perseverance, we should pray for all those listening right now to have that perseverance, because it is so important. It's not easy to come out of this, and it's life in general just isn't easy, right? So
lift up a prayer for them right now.
Lord, we pray for all of those listening and those not listening. We just pray for all of those who have undergone the horror and the evil of abuse, which you never intended for them to experience. Lord, we pray that they would have perseverance to strive for healing and to strive to become better, and to realize their own worth, that they do matter, and that they matter to others as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' holy name, we pray, amen. And we're praying healing, emotional healing, physical healing. We're praying every aspect, spiritual healing, every aspect of healing, we pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And some of you right now are being healed physically. You're being healed of migraine headaches. The Lord has just shown me how many people have headaches as a result of the being a survivor of sexual abuse, that many people have mental disorders, and God is healing depression. Depression is one of the major areas that God is healing right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Claim your healing. Claim your healing of any sort of emotional disorder, any sort of depression, any anxiety, any headaches, migraine headaches. Hypertension is being healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is saying, come to me as a little child, come to me, take my yoke upon you, for I will be there for you, and your burdens will be lifted. the Lord is showing me again that He is our strength in Philippians 4:13, in Philippians 4:19, that He will supply our needs according to His riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do I amen. Hear an amen? Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, we've talked about utilizing the arts. Now, there's a Freeways Art exhibition that is a fundraiser to establish a grief to grace retreat. Tell us more about this.
Sure. So we plan to have our annual Freeways Art exhibition on April 10th of 2021. It will be in Marietta at Monteleone Meadows. It's a beautiful venue where people get married or have major events. There's a nice pond there. And it is a celebration of the healing that people have found in Christ. And it's also an exhibition of the arts. Going back to kind of why do we like the arts, was pondering it earlier. And part of the arts is that the journey from the head to the heart. The arts can really make that journey more real for people. A visual and an artistic expression sometimes is just what people need to get from the head to the heart and to really receive healing or, you know, share that soul level healing. And so during our event, we always have someone sharing their healing journey through the arts in one way or another. And then we also have a student art contest. We have an art auction.
Awesome.
It's a fundraiser, and all of the proceeds will be going towards establishing our own Grief to Grace retreat in Southern California. And it's looking like the retreat will be held at the Sacred Heart Retreat House in Alhambra.
Awesome. And to get more information on this particular project, how do they...
So on our website, if you go to theseraphimproject.org, you can click on ways to get involved. And there's a tab there for the Freeways Art Exhibition. We actually, we did a virtual event this year, so you can watch the video of this year's virtual event. We even have art pieces that can be purchased still, that are still up on our website, with, again, all the proceeds going towards the Grief to Grace retreat.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be back to talk more about Grief to Grace and how you can be and God wants to heal you. A dear friend, Lauren Lindstrom. And Lauren, what a blessing it is to see you. It's been like
you
forever. And God bless you. You know, I love to see younger people, which now most everybody seems to be younger, but, you know, people of your generation that are just on fire with the Lord. I mean, I love to see all generations on fire with the Lord, but, you know, and to answer that calling, and we're talking again on this show about Grief to Grace, the Seraphim Project, and one more time, tell us about what the Seraphim Project is.
We provide resources for survivors of sexual abuse to find healing, retreats, classes, things like this, and then we also seek to share stories of Christ-centered healing.
Now, is this a national organization, or how long has it been in effect?
We officially became our own nonprofit about 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
We were kind of operating under another nonprofit previously.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fairly new, but this Grief to Grace retreat program that we're particularly talking about today has been around for many years. It was founded by Dr. Teresa Burke, who also founded the well-known Rachel's Vineyard Retreat for those who have had abortions. And those retreats are worldwide. They're very successful, as are the Grief to Grace Retreats. The Grief to Grace Retreats have quickly, over the last 10, 15 years, spread across the country and across the world.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Now, the Grief to Grace retreats facilitate healing. How do they do that?
So they utilize a few different components. There's journaling that every retreatant receives a really great workbook that has spiritual exercises and guidance psychologically. But there's journaling that's done. Then there's group exercises and activities that allow the participants to enter into a grief process. Something that I think a lot of people don't realize, especially if they are a survivor, is that they actually need to grieve. Most survivors are in the place of survival mode. So they might still be holding on to some really unhealthy coping skills, or, you know, they're just still surviving. But after they begin a grief process of allowing themselves to go through that anger, because it's real, and that sadness and those other stages, just opening up that grief, their healing process progresses much more quickly. So that's one important part. Another really important part of the retreat is the living scripture exercises, where participants enter into these scripture stories and envision themselves there, and they receive that healing through the Word of God. There's also the sacraments. The Mass and confession are part of the retreat.
So this is a very, very Catholic program.
It is. And it's also very, I want to say, like, multidimensional. It offers healing in so many different ways that are all, you know, that we can be receptive to.
That's awesome. Now, again, in order to get a Grief to Grace program here in Southern California, you need some financial help. Tell us about that.
Yes. So as we've talked about, when we're working with survivors of such severe trauma, many have dissociative personalities that will come out on the retreat. And that's actually welcomed, because that's a part of the healing process. But that also takes a very highly trained retreat team. So the retreat team consists of a spiritual director, a priest, as well as a clinical psychologist, a licensed psychologist, and then several other retreat team members that are well-trained in deliverance ministry and have a background in this area of trauma and healing. But they have to be well-trained. So we actually fly out a training team for the first three retreats to come out and teach the new team how to, you know, run the retreat. So there's high cost there in training the team. And then, of course, we need to book the facility for all of the retreatants and the team and the training team. So there are... It's about $50,000 that we're looking to fundraise
And this is for, in order to give a retreat.
Yes, just to get it off the ground.
$50,000.
Initially, yeah. Once after we initially get it off the ground, you know, after all the training takes place, then the retreat will be self-sustaining. But we do need to fundraise a lot at this time, just to get the retreat going.
Mm-hmm. And so that's very, very important. And you can make a difference, because God is calling you to make a difference, to go to the SeraphimProject.org. And do you have a donate button on your website?
We do. I believe there's a tab that says how you can help. You can make a monthly donation, a one-time donation. You can attend our fundraiser on April 10th. Or you can even check out some of the art pieces on our website and purchase an art piece, with the entire proceeds going towards the Grief to Grace retreat.
So the art is donated?
Yes, by artists.
Artists?
That wanna
Anybody
help this
I know?
Cause.
Not necessarily, huh?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Okay, well, that's really awesome.
Yes.
Well, that's fantastic. And this is just an amazing project. I'd love to see how God is working through you and through so many people that have been involved in making their life a message of hope, right?
Yes.
Because that's what this is a message of hope.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying, I'm all alone, you know, I don't know where to turn, I can't talk about it to anybody, this is a message in which you can and will be healed by our Lord Jesus Christ, but just say yes. And perhaps that one of the biggest challenges is the first step, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is the inertia of not doing anything and Do I make that phone call? Do I sign up for to make a difference and sign up for a retreat or just try to contact someone to talk to from the Seraphim Project? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think just taking that first step is perfect. If you can take the first step, then you've already started the process.
Would you say that one of the important things is to be honest with the Lord in our prayer and to say, Lord, help me make that first step because I'm scared?
Yes, I think even that amount of honesty with the Lord might require a lot of vulnerability for some to say, oh, maybe there's a small chance that you do care about me. It might be a huge step for someone to and take courage in their heart to say, to make that prayer and to ask the Lord, you know, what do you intend for me? And do you really care about me? And can you help me through this to the end? Because I know it's going to be a journey.
You know, my brothers and sisters, the devil is a liar. The devil wants you to live in this bondage, in this paralysis. The devil doesn't want you to be healed, but Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus is healing you. Open up your heart to accept that healing. Open up your heart to make that first step. The devil tries to lie by saying things like, it's better that I don't talk about it. It's better that no one knows. I don't want to hurt members of my family and let them know what's happened and so forth. And all of those are lies of the enemy.
Absolutely. I think a large part of the healing journey is, one, to recognize the lie and call it out for what it is. Oh, that is in fact a lie. And after that, we need to surround ourselves with the truth about, which comes from the Word of God. We can find the truth there about who God really is and how He wants to take care of us and how He is our provider, our protector, our healer. You know, these things are all true. And it's a battle between the truth and the lie. And being able to recognize that, learning to recognize that, is an important part of the journey.
Our ministry, Spiritful Hearts, and you can go to our website, spiritfulhearts.org. You can take a look at our books. Be Not Afraid is the recent one, talking about the fear in the midst of what's going on right now. But another book, Miracles Through Forgiveness, I highly recommend, because we talk about forgiving others, forgiving yourself, forgiving God, and all the various aspects of forgiveness. Again, spiritfilledhearts.org. You can go and order our books, and we'll send them to you. This is such an important project, and I just want to say publicly that our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is a big supporter of the Seraphim Project and will be going forward even more. And because I believe that God has called you and this project to heal countless number of people. Do you have a final thought for our listening audience?
Well, I just have to say thank you so much for that. That means so much to me.
Well, you have it. And God has put in my spirit and in my heart the importance of this project. And the importance of really recognizing the fact that this project is really anointed by the Holy Spirit and anointed by Jesus. Any final thoughts that you have?
I have to say that I completely agree with you.
Any final thoughts to our listening audience about hope and courage?
I think that just not to give up and to just open up your heart to the Lord. He wants you to come to Him with this. He does not want you to carry this burden your whole life. And there is hope of, you know, even happiness and healing. When you're in it, it can be so hard to imagine the thought of actually being healthy or happy or whole. But it is possible. And the Lord loves you so much that He just wants to offer these opportunities to help you along your journey.
My brothers and sisters, the Seraphim Project is a very, very important ministry. It's a 501c3. It is a nonprofit, tax deductible. Please go to theseraphimproject.org. Go to spiritfulhearts.org too. And there are things that we have that can also help those that are hurting. Heavenly Father, We thank you, we praise you and worship you.
Thank you
and praise you for healing us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Send forth your Holy Spirit to heal us all. Protect us against all evil. Protect us against COVID-19. Cover us with your precious blood, Lord Jesus, and that of our loved ones through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
What a blessing. And God bless everyone. We'll be with you next week at the same time. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.